Good morning. My name is Gene Reardon, caller registration number 11605, and I'm here on behalf of the appellant Land Sand and Gravel Company. This is round two for Judge Webb, and this is on standing and mootness. I don't begin with standing. The starting point for standing in this case has to be Ainscough. It's a 2004 case, which contains the most recent comprehensive analysis and assessment of standing in Colorado by a Colorado Supreme Court. As pertinent here, there are two key conclusions in that analysis. First, standing is a judicially developed test, and in contrast to what may happen in other states and federal jurisdictions, in Colorado, plaintiffs benefit from a broad definition of standing that has traditionally been relatively easy to satisfy. And second, the legally protected interest for the second prong of standing encompass all rights arising from constitutions, statutes, and case law. As pertinent here, that includes interest in property, interest arising out of contract, interest founded on the statute which confers a privilege, or an interest in having the government act within the boundaries of our Constitution. Under this liberal test, Brennan has standing to pursue this appeal because the county's denial decision has injured four of Brennan's legally protected interests. More specifically, Brennan is the applicant and owner of the Special Use Review or SUR permit application that is filed with the county. As that applicant and owner, it has a legally protected interest in having the county act on that application within the boundaries of our state constitution. Brennan is also the owner of the MLRB permit, which authorizes the mining of the property. As such, it has an interest founded on the Land Reclamation Act, which confers a privilege on Brennan through the state-issued MLRB permit to mine that property. Brennan also has authorization to enter and mine the property from the two competing record owners of the property, the Wolfs and the TCF Bank successors.
Aren't the Wolfs' interests cut off by the foreclosure and the deed from the public trustee back to the bank?
Maybe.
Why maybe?
Because the Wolfs have asserted a jurisdictional defects in those foreclosures, and as everyone knows, jurisdictional defects can be raised at any time. They were actually raised on remand, and the trial court never addressed them, never addressed any of the issues raised by the Wolfs. So at this point in time, what we have is we have the Wolfs who still claim a record interest, it's of record, it's on in the title, to the property, and they assert a jurisdictional defect in the foreclosure.
Isn't the deed presumptively determinative until it's otherwise established by a court judgment? Or doesn't the deed back to the bank create a presumption that the Wolf's interest has been extinguished by foreclosure and therefore your interests as well, unless and until a court holds otherwise?
I don't know the answer to that.
Okay,
fair enough. I just don't.
Okay.
I would say though that I do believe that deeds of record are also presumptive of ownership of the property, and the Wolves do have a correction deed of record that, you know, Brad has to deal with. At some point in time, Brad is going to have to sort out the competing interests, but that's not necessary for standing, because Brandon has at all times maintained the rights to enter and mine the property from at least one of the putative owners of the property. In addition, Brandon's standing is not limited to it's something that arises out of contract. It also is the owner of the applicant of the SUR permit application and the owner of the NLRB permit, which provide a separate basis for standing.
Well, and my question was perhaps ill-framed. I was thinking of mootness. I mean, if you don't have a right to enter the property, what's the significance of rights that you may have or interests, legal interests you may have under the permits?
Good question. And the answer is that the SUR application provides, as the permit is issued, provides an entitlement to the property. And regardless of whether Brandon has now or had in the past some interest with the owner, that entitlement provides the groundwork for negotiations on what the terms and conditions of whatever access or right of entry between the owner and Brandon would ultimately be. it provides more value to that property with that entitlement. So the practical effect of having that escrow application permit is that Brandon can go back to the owner, doesn't have to now because it actually has the rights from both the Wolves and TCM successor. But if it didn't, it could go back and say, okay, I just increased the value of your property by X because I have this entitlement. Let's start talking. So there's a practical legal effect, even if they didn't have actual right to enter the property at that time.
Council, as to your reliance on the successor, the interest from the successor to the bank, how is it that we can even consider documents pertaining to that transaction?
I would say two things. One is, prior to the trial court's order after remand, the trial court knew that Brandon had an agreement with the contract purchaser from TCF Bank. So that was in the trial court record. It also knew that there was a contract, and the trial court misread the contract and suggested that there was going to be a deed restriction on mining, which the contract had cleared up, and that's demonstrated by the fact that the deed contains no deed restrictions. The title policy has no deed restriction, and we actually have mining lease now. The second is, for purposes of standing, the case law, Miller and, I'm going to butcher this, but I think it's Agmuno, provide that after prior standing, it is allowed in Colorado. Those cases have not been overturned in Colorado. If it's a mootness question, the cases say that if you lose all interest in the property, then the case is generally moot. But if you go through the elements, which are, can the relief be granted, can it be implemented, and will it have practical legal effect, the answer is yes. This court has authority to grant the relief we've requested, which is a remand to the court, to the county, to issue a permit subject to the conditions that Brandon has proposed. The county can issue that permit, has authority to issue that permit.
Can it issue the permit if Brandon has no present right to enter the property?
Certainly. The regulations provide nothing, and the county has finally admitted that require owner consent to apply for an SUR permit application or to get one.
So a complete stranger to a property could apply for an SUR permit?
Yes.
And the county would have to act on it without regard to the fact that that stranger had no interest in the property?
Under their current regulation, which they wrote, I didn't, which is different from the regulation in Brown versus Board of County Commissions, which specifically says that for private initiation of zone changes, you have to have the owner consent. Doesn't say that here. Yes. In order to change that, there has to be a legislative change to the regulation. And the reason for that is because they knew how to require owner permission. In their regulations, they have a provision that says, in certain circumstances, you need owner permission. It's not there for SUR applications. But let's be practical about this. Why would a stranger, without some sense that it was going to ultimately get authorization to go through the brain damage, time and expense of applying for an SUR permit application?
Well, I mean, I don't mean to be a wise guy, but I could ask you the same question. Why would Brandon continue to pursue a permit if its rights to entry of the property have been derivatively terminated by a foreclosure?
Because we still believe that the LRB permit has tremendous value, and the FUR permit application has tremendous value, and once those are issued, it gives Brandon the ability to negotiate with whoever